Today, one of the benefits of being employed by the federal government, I actually had the day off because it's Juneteenth, which speaking of slavery, Juneteenth is actually a celebration of the day. And it's one of the few holidays now that actually is observed on the day, set on Monday, when a general in the Union Army came down to Galveston, Texas, and told the slaves that they were free. Of course, Lincoln had emancipated them years before, but the word never got down. So this general was first to let them know, hey, you're free. So that's the holiday that we now celebrate as Juneteenth. So anyway, I was off. So I thought, well, it'd be a good day to take my new sailboat that I recently purchased to go sailing. So I had Joe Marsula with me, and we took the Ocean Pearl out for his first voyage under my command, and everything went well. We got out to the middle of the bay and turned into the wind and went to put the sails up, and the mainsail just would not go up to the top of the mast. And Joe was up there. I was steering the boat. Joe was up there trying to figure out what was going wrong. And we tried all kinds of different things. And then I remember, wait a minute, let's ask God. So I asked God, and God did not, you know, there's only been one time in my life where I heard the voice of God audibly. It was only two words, Bob and Buck. And that's another story. But it's usually a thought. And I had this thought, Joe, just bring the mainsail all the way back down and we'll try it again. So Joe brought it about halfway down and tried bringing it back up. So we go up. I go, no, Joe, bring it all the way down. So he brings it about two-thirds of the way down and tries to bring it back up, and it would not go up. So I said, Joe, listen, got to bring it all the way down. So I brought it all the way down, and I said, okay, I'm going to hoist the sail while I'm steering, and you go forward and see what's going on. So I'm starting to bring down the halyard in, and the sail is going up. And that's when he could see for the first time that the halyard was wrapped around another line, and that was why we couldn't get it up. But that's how God... He's just a wonderful God, you know. He's not too busy to take care of anything for you. So don't forget, sometimes you need an answer, ask God for the answer. You know? So we've been going through the book of Acts. And, you know, the book of Acts, that's my glucose meter. I can't silence the dang thing. I have to acknowledge it. All right, anyway, the book of Acts, like Judy was saying, it talks about the Acts of the Apostles during that first century period of the church when it was first starting out. But you know, these titles aren't in the original manuscript. So it doesn't say Acts at the beginning of this manuscript, okay? Sometime we get some time, I would really encourage you to go read up on the canonization of Scripture. Bullinger has a lot of good stuff in one of the appendices in the Companion Bible about it. But they call it the Book of Acts. I think of it as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is what God was doing during the first century. So let's go there. That's chapter 8. And again, there were no chapters and verses and whatnot in the original manuscripts, right? So this chapter actually starts right in the middle. It was, I don't know why they broke it to here for a chapter, because it starts with the word and, of all things. So you know, it probably was not a chapter, place to put a chapter, but they did. So and, Saul, who's Saul?
Paul.
It later becomes Paul, right? But at this time, his name was Saul, was consenting unto his death. Whose death? Stephen. Stephen died a martyr's death, and Saul was the guy that held all the coats while everybody else was picking up stones and throwing them. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Remember, right after Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected and ascended, they were hiding out. Then they went to the temple. Then they got in trouble. And then there was persecution because the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the high priests, those guys didn't like this new thing, that was going on because it was taken away from their power, right? So there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, okay? And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. But as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Okay. He was really going after the Christians, persecuting them, having them jailed, having them executed. And he went into every house and hailing men and women committed them to prison. Okay, so that's what's going on. Fun times in the old town, right? So now, therefore, we're in verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Did they shut up? No. Did they hide out? No. They went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip, so this guy named Philip, he goes down to the city of Samaria and preaches Christ unto them. So Philip is what? Philip's an evangelist. He's going around declaring the gospel, right? As far as he knows it. And the people, with one accord, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Miracles. When you're walking in the power of God and doing what he commissioned you for, there's going to be signs, miracles, and wonders, okay? So, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. What kind of miracles? Well, for unclean spirits, what are those? Devil spirits. Crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, that's convulsions, and that were lame, they were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Why would there be great joy in that city? People were getting delivered by the power of God's word being preached by one guy. But, there's always a but. But there was a guy, a certain man, his name was Simon, which before time, in the same city, used sorcery. Is that the Holy Spirit?
No.
And bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. Oh, look at me, man. I'm performing these counterfeit signs, miracles, and wonders because I'm a really great guy and I have a lot of power. To whom all gave heed, from the least to the greatest. So from the poorest person in the town all the way up to the rulers, they all gave him heed, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. So he had been playing his little sleight of hand, magician kind of show thing for them. For a long time, and they all thought he was the great power of God. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed. So this guy believed, okay? And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done by Philip, right? Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Remember Peter and John? They're the apostles. They're still hanging out in Jerusalem. So they hear, wow, something's happening up in Samaria. We better go check that out. They sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Why did they do that? These guys were baptized. Didn't it just say they were baptized? Yeah. What kind of baptism?
Water.
What did Philip know? All he knew was water, okay? So the apostles come up and pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus in water. Right? Then they laid their hands on them. Now remember that. They did what? They laid their hands on them. Somebody's watching. And they did receive Holy Spirit. Okay? And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, hey, I want some of that. Give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay my hands, he might receive the Holy Spirit. You think that was... So what do you think the apostles' reaction to that's going to be? Well, Peter said unto them, your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have no part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, and perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven you. For I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness. Excuse me. And in the bond of iniquity. Then, I think that took old Simon up a little bit, all right? Because he says, whoa, wait a minute. Pray to the God, to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. Well, what things is he talking about here? What was that first thing that Peter said? Your money perished with you. What's that mean? He's going to die. Okay? He's going to die. And Simon's going like, no, please. You guys pray for me so that God doesn't do that to me. And they, when they had testified, did they give him an answer? No. It's just, he says, pray for me. And then it goes on to say, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So what happened to Simon? Well, I'm sure they prayed for him. And he didn't die. But he learned a lesson. You don't get the power of God by buying it, okay? Philip, he decides it's time for him to get on down somewhere. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, hey, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So Gaza, we're hearing a lot about Gaza right now, right? So even way back then, there was a Gaza. It was that little strip of land that was the desert, okay? And so the angel of the Lord told Philip to go on down that way. And he arose, and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. This guy was a big shot. He had charge of all the treasure of the kingdom, or the queendom. Okay? And had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. So why did he go to Jerusalem? To worship. But he's from Ethiopia. Was he a Jew? Yes, he was. Remember that there was this lady called the Queen of Sheba that came to see David many years before, right? And she saw all that David had done and how great his kingdom was being run because he believes in God. And she took that back, and Sheba was Ethiopia, okay? So she took that back to her Sheba, Ethiopia, and there was a bunch of Jews down there. This guy, he's his, one of her main men, he went up to Jerusalem during one of those feast periods, and he's on his way back to Ethiopia, okay? So the Spirit said unto Philip, go on down there, join yourself to his chariot. And Philip ran. So when God tells you to do something, do it with enthusiasm. He ran. He didn't just, okay, well, maybe I'll sneak up on this guy. He looks like he's a pretty big guy and all powerful and everything. I don't want to disturb him. No. Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he boldly said to this guy, hey, do you understand what you're reading? What a great question. I wonder how Philip do to ask that. Any guesses? Revelation. Word of knowledge, right? Word of wisdom. And he said, the eunuch, that is, said, how can I except some guy, man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he was reading was this. Quote, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Who's the scripture talking about there that he's reading? Jesus Christ. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Is it of himself or of some other man? And that just opened the door wide open for Philip, right? So Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So he walked them through the whole thing of salvation, the gospel, the good news, how to get born again, and all that, right? And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. Again, what does Philip know? Water, right? Baptism. And the eunuch said, oh, look here, there's the water. What's keeping me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, then you can be baptized. And he said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Whoa, Jose! And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. He, Philip, baptized the eunuch, right, in water. And when they were come up out of the water, boom, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Okay, so Philip had accomplished the mission, right? So it's time for Philip to go somewhere else, and the angel of the Lord, boom, all right, you're done. Let's get on with it. And he went on his way. Spirit of the Lord caught Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way all bummed out. So rejoicing. He just got born again. He just heard the great news of the gospel. But Philip, he went to some place called Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So that's how God was working things back in the first century, man. He needed something done. He picked out the guy. He told the angel to go tell the guy what to do. The angel showed up. Guy didn't freak out. I think I might be freaked out myself. My angel put his spirit in front of me and says, hey, go down this road down to Gaza. Well, why? Just go. And he went. You know, and that was the kind of level of believing that they had during that first initial, before the devil got too big and let's not get into that. They had signs, miracles, and wonders. Signs, miracles, and wonders wasn't like just once a year or every now and then. It was like a daily thing. Those people were walking and talking and preaching the word of God, and things were happening. So that's what I had to share.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you for just signs, miracles, and wonders following our believing when we hold forth your word and we minister the good news to others, God. When they hear that word and they get delivered and they get born again, Father, thank you that all kinds of other signs, miracles, and wonders, healing and deliverance in every aspect of their lives comes to pass. Maybe it's better.